time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Still going. Good night. Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's hour number two on a Wednesday. Short week of the show. Final hour of the week. Thanks for tuning us in, as always, right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. Beautiful day in the 605. Hoping for a beautiful 4th of July weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Have a safe, happy holiday season with you and yours. Still to come on the overtime today, the identity crisis. Another opportunity to win big coming up here soon. That looms at about 12:20-ish on today's show. 12:30, the preseason Big 12 poll is out. Where are the Iowa State Cyclones? What team is projected to win the thing this year? And what are their obstacles of getting that done? The latest from college football, and touch on the National Football League. Brandon Ayuk and the Niners. Is the deal gonna get done, or are they gonna explore a trade? We'll get you the latest there. And Josh Jacobs, new running back of the Green Bay Packers, commenting for one of the first times on that offense, the potential, Jordan Love at quarterback. And of course, anytime anybody gets to a new team, they gotta glow up the teammates. This is the best offense I've seen. He's the best young quarterback. We get a little bit of that with Josh Jacobs, but certainly a lot of substance as well from the veteran running back who now dons the green and gold. We'll round out today's show, as always, with the latest, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And with that, let's dive in to your scorecard from yesterday. Major League Baseball went at it again. Philadelphia, Chicago from Wrigley. Phillies proved that they're still one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball. Road win yesterday, 6-4. It was a late one, a one that came down to the wire between the White Sox and the Guardians, and nobody can cut the Twins a break and let them crawl back into the top spot in the division. This one tied late, and Cleveland escaped with a walk-off winner.
A swing and a high fly, medium deep center. This will be interesting. Robert makes the catch, tagging Jimenez. The throw to the plate, nowhere near in time. Ball game is over. A game-winning sacrifice fly.
Sack fly winner there, 7-6 the final. Cleveland escapes from Chicago at home, 53-30, the new record for the Guardians. WTAM with the audio. St. Louis blows up Pittsburgh yesterday. Cardinals win it 7-4 on the road. Minnesota Twins keep on winning. They're 48-37. Couple big long balls in the win yesterday.
And the first pitch hit high in the air to deep left field. There's your insurance. Carlos Correa, take a lap.
Carlos Correa did it again. Treasure Island Baseball Network with the coverage there. Jorge Alcala with the win. He's 2-3. Johan Duran with the save. His 13th of the season. Minnesota wins in that series opener 5-3. New record again for the Twins, 48-37. Rays won in Kansas City yesterday 5-1. New record for the Royals in third place of the Central, 47-40. And Milwaukee and Colorado from Denver. Brewers get the road win 4-3. Brew Crew now 51-35 on the season. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, White Sox at Guardians do it again at 5:40. Same time from Pittsburgh as the Pirates play host to the Cardinals. 7:05 start, Phillies at Cubs. 7:10 start today for the Twins home to the Tigers. You can watch it on ESPN Plus. As always, listen to Twins baseball right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Pregame coverage at 6:30. Other matchup, Rays at Royals, Brewers at Rockies later on this evening, and Twins on the 4th of July. Go ahead and mark it on your calendar. 1:10 the start time, 12:30 pregame coverage, home to Detroit tomorrow on the 4th. You can listen as well, as always, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. NBA news, LeBron James back in the fold, and according to many, this team not going to look too different in LA this year.
I don't expect the Lakers to look a whole lot different on opening night than they do now. That there's some moves around the edges. I don't sense there's a big impact move out there for the Lakers or very many teams right now.
Fellow rookie Bronny James and fellow rookie Dalton Knecht were introduced yesterday as part of the Lakers rookie draft class, and certainly all sorts of polarizing opinions on Bronny James. Chris Canty not hiding how he feels.
He earned it based on what? How did he earn this? He had 4 points. He was averaging 4 points coming off the bench at USC. How did he earn this opportunity? If not for being LeBron James' son, how did he earn this opportunity? What is the evidence? Please point it out. Anybody, show me where he earned this. In college basketball, there are 18,000 players in any given year. Only 60 draft picks. There have only been 5,000 players to have ever played in the NBA. How did Bronny James, based on his body of work, what he did in high school and what he did in 1 year at USC, earn the opportunity to be drafted into the NBA? How?
Let's be fair here in regards to the Bronny James debate. It's not all the way one side or the other. Somewhere in the middle generally here. Bronny James, certainly this year, right now, with his resume, is he a draftable NBA player? I would lean to be no. But in terms of what it means for the Lakers and the pick means for the future of their franchise, retaining LeBron James on the roster, it's certainly a good move. Now, does that mean he's completely and totally qualified? No, he's not at pick 55. I'm not saying that he was undraftable. We don't know the interest of other teams. Lakers obviously had their reasons for drafting him. Now, is he an absolute bum? Does he stink? Does he have no business in the NBA? We don't know that, but I would lean towards no, he's not a bum. He went to USC. He got recruited there because, yes, he's got the pedigree, but he's also got the skill. Anytime you have this nepotism conversation in sports, sometimes, very rarely, is it complete and total just nepotism. We're hiring this guy because that's his dad. This is not the case. Bronny James played high school basketball at a high level, played college basketball at a high level when given the opportunity. He had all sorts of adversity this year. But I'll tell you this as well. We know this in sports and modern society, no matter what Bronny James did this past year in college, if he was good enough to be the Lakers' first round pick, there would still be people circling and saying, oh, it's just because he's LeBron James's kid. That certainly boosts his stock, but when has that ever not boosted someone's stock? I don't care if it's Barkley's kid. I don't care if it's Bettis's kid in the NFL and college football. I don't care who it is. You got the pedigree. Marvin Harrison Jr., great example. Phenomenal young football player, but no matter what you say about him getting recruited to Ohio State, him getting a shot in the NFL, everything is enhanced proportionately a little bit because of who he is, who his dad is, the pedigree. That is built into sports and the fabric of our society, as is the criticism. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr., way better college player than Bronny James. That is not up for debate. It's not apples to apples there, but I'm just saying, when he's getting recruited and looked at as a high schooler, hey, you know who his dad is, right? All the experience he gets at home, all the tutelage he gets from his dad, that's the same here with Bronny James. He's got the potential, certainly worth a long-term look, whether it be undrafted, drafted, or otherwise. He got drafted. Now, we can all just shut up and wait and see what happens in his career. LeBron James, as of this morning, re-upping with the Lakers, a 2-year deal, more likely a 1+1 deal. He's got a big decision after this coming year, and Evan Cohen says he's not long to be a member of the Lakers.
I think this is LeBron James's last year with the Los Angeles Lakers. Playing with your son, accomplishing that goal, is literally a singular minute. That's it. If you play 1 minute with your son on an NBA floor, you have done more than anyone has ever done in terms of a father-son combination at the same time. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. didn't play 162 games together. They played multiple games together. I think this is going to be his last year with the Lakers.
That's the latest from the NBA. Wouldn't surprise me there. WNBA Finals, Minnesota Lynx lost last night. Just their fifth loss of the season to the hands of the Liberty. 76-67 the final there. Jonquil Jones, the leader. Double-double performance for New York. 21 points and 12 rebounds. Other finals, Chicago with a big road win in Atlanta. 85-77. Sky are now 7-11 on the season. Other final, Indiana Fever lose to Las Vegas, 88-69. Kelsey Plum, 34 points in the win. Aces playing great basketball, 11-6. Fever keep competing, but still working their way back to relevance there in the WNBA, 8-13, the overall mark. Tonight in the league, just one game, Mercury at the Wing, 7 o'clock jump time on NBA TV. Out of the NFL now, expectations are and should be sky high for the Detroit Lions externally. But what about internally? Here's pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson on the expectations around his Lions.
Is this the year? What do you tell them? What are you telling people right now?
I feel like it's the year. I mean, with every fiber of my body, I feel like it's the year. And, I believe from this year on, every year is the year, with the guys that we have. And, You know, I hope that we're going to sustain this success for a long time.
Obviously, a lot of expectations there in the Motor City for an NFC North crown, playoff berth, maybe a Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl win this year. Not necessarily out of the realm of expectation. Lions with top five Super Bowl odds as of today at DraftKingsSportsbook.com. Now, later on this weekend, NASCAR will race in Chicago. Second ever road race from downtown Chicago. That gets going on Sunday, 3:30 on NBC. PGA Tour Golf, the John Deere Classic begins tomorrow, runs through Sunday, and Wimbledon. Yesterday, Iga Swiatek, straight-set winner. Fourth-seeded Rebekina, also a straight-set winner. And today, good news for the Americans. Coco Gauff, straight-set winner in her match. Danielle Collins, also straight-set winner over Toussaint earlier on today. The big news yesterday on the women's side from Wimbledon was the unceremonious exit of Markéta Vondrousová. She won the whole thing last year on the women's side, and she exits in the first round this year.
It was an amazing feeling to go back on the center court. You know, the match was really tough. So, yeah, now it's like it's mixed feelings. I love to be here. You know, I would love to stay longer also. But, yeah, you know, I won last year. So, yeah, it was amazing. And, yeah, today was really tough.
And on the women's side right now, a couple Americans in action. Sloane Stephens trailing Diana Schneider 6-1-0-2 in the second set right now. And Emma Navarro, the 19 seed, out to a good start against Japan's Naomi Osaka 6-4-3-0. And you can watch that right now on ESPN-TV. On the men's side, Novak Djokovic is back in Hungary. He's the 2 seed, second-ranked tennis player on the men's side. Straight set winner over Kapriva 6-1-6-2-6-2 earlier on. And he said he's happy to be back.
I think if it was for any other tournament, I probably wouldn't rush it as much. I just love Wimbledon.
Djokovic obviously battling an injury, meniscus injury in his knee, had a compression sleeve on that. No problem, though, early on in his first round matchup. And right now, one American in action on the men's side. That's 12th seed Tommy Paul. Dogfight against Otto Vertanen right now. Paul dropped the first set, won the second set, and is behind in set 3, 5-4. Good news for the Americans across the board, though. Yesterday, Americans Taylor Fritz and Ben Shelton advanced. And today, Francis Tiafoe was straight set winner, and Brandon Nakashima, who had a big upset in the first round, continues to dance. Straight set winner over Jordan Thompson in round number 2. Good news for the American men across the board from Wimbledon. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day now. Coyote Volleyball and the ticket office at USD are excited to bring back the Attack Plan ticket package for the upcoming season. That ticket package is a flexible option for fans this year that allows fans to pick 5 games to attend for just $45 total. That's a 10% discount than the single game price. You can secure your Attack Plan at goyotes.com. South Dakota Volleyball begins their home schedule on September 13th inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center as they host Montana State. The season continues with home matches against Iowa State, UTEP, South Dakota State, Denver, and more. Full schedule and more information, goyotes.com. If you'd prefer to call the ticket office, just ask about the Attack Plan, 605-677-5959. LeBron James has agreed to return to the Lakers on a 2-year, $104 million contract that includes a player option after this coming season and a no-trade clause. The deal brings James back for his 22nd season in the NBA and essentially becomes a 1+1 deal that allows him to reassess his Lakers and NBA future next summer. James joins the Phoenix Suns guard Bradley Beal as one of only 2 players in the NBA with no-trade clauses. The maximum deal of $104 million would put the Lakers about $1 million over the league's new punitive salary second apron and would severely limit the team's roster flexibility. James's agent, Rich Paul, CEO of Clutch Sports, is planning to discuss with Lakers general manager Rob Pelinka the possibility of taking $1 million or so below the maximum to keep LA under that second apron. Lakers are working to sign Bronny James Jr. That got done this morning. Last season, James became the first player to make 20 all-star teams, passing Kareem, who had already passed for the all-time scoring mark for the most in NBA history. James's 20 all-NBA NBA selections and 13 first-team selections are also the most in the history of the sport. But we heard Evan Cohen moments ago. He believes, and many people believe, the flexibility of this deal is by design. Could just be one more year with the Lakers, an opportunity to play a full season with his son, Bronny James, who officially signed his deal as of an hour ago. Bad news for the Minnesota Twins. They're playing good baseball, but bad injury news yesterday. Twins third baseman Royce Lewis is dinged up once again, was removed from last night's win against Detroit with tightness in his left groin. Lewis was replaced in the field for the top of the sixth inning, had a two-run, two-out double in the third off Tigers ace, and then jogged to the second base and felt like he couldn't even run at half speed. It was a pretty ugly interview at his locker. Frankly, matter of fact about it, you could just see the frustration on his face. He said, probably not very optimistic, to be honest with you. I'm praying, but it's usually always horrible news. The first overall pick back in the 2017 draft can be forgiven for his pessimism. He missed 58 games earlier this year with a partially torn quad in his right leg. Now he's got tightness in his left groin. 31 homers and 80 RBI in 100 major league games, including the postseason. But he goes on to say, what I can control, I'm very happy about, but this is out of my control. I have no idea. When he was pressed about the severity, the timetable of recovery here for Royce Lewis, but bad news once again for the Minnesota Twins and one of their young stars. News from Sioux Falls in an upcoming event in early September. It'll be here before we know it. Three former major champions have officially committed to competing in the upcoming Sanford International Golf Tournament. That's Bernhard Langer, Darren Clark, and Mike Weir will all play in this year's tournament. It'll take place September 9th through the 15th at Minnehaha Country Club here in Sioux Falls. Langer, who returned to the PGA Tour Champions after tearing his Achilles earlier this year, is the winningest player in PGA Tour Champions history. Clark was victorious in the first ever playoff at the Sanford International back in 2021. And Weir, a Canadian, has 9 career wins, including the 2003 Masters and the Tour Championship in 2001. Certainly star power each and every year for a tournament that is run with the best of them at that Champions Tour. It's been the Steve Stricker Tour lately, though. Stricker won last year, the year before in 2022, and back in 2018. Three-time winner in the last 7 tournaments here in Sioux Falls. Still waiting on a commitment from Stricker, but again, the recent commitments, Bernhard Langer, Darren Clark, and Mike Weir, the recent commitments to the upcoming 2024 Sanford International Minnehaha Country Club, September 9th through the 15th here in Sioux Falls. Coco Gauff likes number one court at Wimbledon. It's where she beat Venus Williams back in 2019 when Gauff made her debut at the age of 15. And today, Gauff beat qualifier Anca Todoni 6-2, 6-1 to advance to the third round at the All England Club. This is the court where I first started here at Wimbledon. Court one is always a special place to me for me to play on, the now 20-year-old Gauff said in her on-court interview. The victory also allows Gauff, the number two seed, to move another step away from last year's first round exit. Overall, I learned about life a lot, she says. I realized that, yes, what I do I'm very passionate about, but it's never, ever that serious. And sometimes the world can make you feel like there's so much pressure, there's so much expectation. At the end of the day, it's a game. It is a sport. The 20-year-old, wise beyond her years. Everyone here back home in the States rooting for Coco Gauff to get the job done. Certainly a lot of fun ahead. 5 years ago, Gauff beat Williams, 5-time Wimbledon champion, 6-4, 6-4 in the first round, and eventually reached the last 16, all on her Grand Slam debut. Gauff, obviously one of the big stars of the sport right now, and the number two seed, number one seed on the women's side, still alive as well, Iga Swiatek, with a straight set winner within the last day or so. The Milwaukee Brewers are making a big-time acquisition, acquiring right-hander Aaron Civale from the Tampa Bay Rays for minor league infielder Gregory Berrios. According to multiple reports, Savali's 29, 2-6 record with a 5.07 ERA over 17 starts for the Rays this season. He's allowed 93 hits while striking out 84 batters over 87 innings. Savali's making roughly $5 million this year and is under team control for one more season. Over his career, great stuff. 33-32, 103 starts with a 4.10 ERA. Savali now a member of the Milwaukee Brewers, looking to bolster that rotation and the team that's well in charge of the NL Central. Let's wrap up your ReliaBank headlines of the day with this. Wanted to update you on the status of Brandon Nimmo. We told you about him fainting, falling, and hitting his head yesterday on the show in a hotel room. And he made his return to the diamond yesterday. Two RBIs in his return from a harrowing hotel room accident. And the Mets beat the Nationals 7-2 last night for their second consecutive extra innings win. Nimmo, who cut his forehead when he fainted and fell on Sunday night, entered in the fourth inning after Harrison Bader was pulled following a collision with the wall in right center field. In the eighth, Nimmo drove in Francisco Lindor for a tying RBI single. Back and ready for action, Brandon Nimmo. Good news there, and an update on a story we shared with you yesterday. We're going to take the break and come back to test your wits. The identity crisis coming up, brought to you as always by the fine folks at the Original Pancake House. Nothing is better on a long weekend or on a holiday than heading out for breakfast with the fam. Original Pancake House, corner of 41st and Kiwanis. Join the wait list on the way, the Original Pancake House, SiouxFalls.com. The identity crisis coming up next. We gave you the courtesy clue off the jump. If you've been listening since the start, you know the number. Dial me up when you think you have it. 605-362-3776. The identity crisis is next on Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. It's just about time to test your wits with today's identity crisis, but quickly an update from Wimbledon, where the Americans continue to soar, at least for now. Emma Navarro just put the finishing touches on a straight set winner, 19th seeded, taking down Naomi Osaka of Japan, 6-4, 6-1. And moments ago, Emma Raducanu of Great Britain winning 6-1, 6-2 in straight sets over Elise Mertens. And right now, more coverage continuing. ESPN TV, Sloane Stephens, an American, in action right now, up against it, against Diana Schneider, going on right now at Wimbledon. On the men's side, we'll update you on that very much momentarily. But again, the Americans, good showing so far across the board, men's and women's side. We told you about all the winners earlier on in the show. Brandon Nakashima continues to dance. First round upset, second round win as well over Jordan Thompson as of today, 6-3, 6-2, 6-2. Francis Tiafoe, ranked 29th, had a straight set winner as well earlier on today against Borna Koric. And moving forward, we'll keep you updated on all the big storylines from one of the great tennis tournaments year in and year out. It's time, though, for today's identity crisis. We're testing your wits on a current NBA player and a teamless current NBA player. That's right, a free agent. Let's do it. It's the identity crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House.
I don't know. Who are you?
Me? I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's identity crisis on Overtime.
Those of you that have been along for the ride for a while know very well the identity crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. For the very best in breakfast, visit OPH in Sioux Falls at the corner of 41st and Kiwanis. Current NBA free agent is who we're talking about today. As soon as you think you know the answer, dial me up to win our prize pack, 605-362-3776. Current NBA free agent, this player plays the position primarily of small forward. He wore number 20 and number 33 thus far in his career. This is the giveaway. I expect the phones to be lighting up right about now. Clue number three, this player went to Butler University. Clue number four, 2010 till present. Currently a free agent, did play this past season. And lastly, clue number five, played for the Jazz, the Celtics, the Hornets, and most recently, the Oklahoma City Thunder. One-time All-Star. I've got a caller on the line. I've got two callers and now three callers that think they know who I'm talking to, who I'm talking about today. 605-362-3776. You're on with Overtime. What's your name? Hello, you're on with Overtime. One more time with your name.
This is Bob.
Bob, I appreciate the call. Bob, who am I talking about today?
Is it KCP?
It is not KCP. We're going to have to go to line number two. We've got a caller on the line there. You're on with overtime. Again, clues. Small forward, number 20 and number 33. Went to Butler, 2010 to present in the NBA. Played for the Jazz, Celtics, Hornets, and Thunder. Who am I talking about today?
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward. It's easy peasy lemon squeezy. I forgot to get your name. What's your name?
Bill.
Bill, I appreciate the call. Congratulations. You win the big prize pack. I got golf here. I got so much more as well. And, of course, the gift card to the Original Pancake House. Congratulations, my friend. Happy 4th to you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The identity crisis. Hang on hold for me. I'll get your info from you, get you hooked up with the prize pack, Bill. Again, hang on hold. We're going to take the break any minute now. But the identity crisis, Gordon Hayward, he's pretty much the only guy out of Butler that would come to mind for me, at least right now. Horizon League Player of the Year 2010, nearly sank the Blue Devils in the national championship game. That last second heave that rimmed out was so painful for everyone across the country. The 99.9% of Americans rooting against Duke that night. Butler almost got the job done. Gordon Hayward moves on to the NBA. Pretty decent career so far. One-time All-Star, looking for a new team. Maybe the Lakers come to mind for the former All-Star, Gordon Hayward. 2010 NCAA runner-up, and that is this week's identity crisis on overtime. Wasn't too hard to solve, but we did have one wrong answer, so we're doing something right. Again, 4th of July coming up tomorrow, and we're going to dive headfirst into some college football talk next. Next, the preseason Big 12 poll is out. Where is Iowa State? Are they garnering some respect in the poll? I think they should be. Are they in the top five? Where did they land? We'll share that with you. And also, other news from college football. Strange news out of the state of Utah. A succession plan for the Utes and a coach fired for the Aggies. We'll talk about that and touch on the NFL as well coming up next on Overtime.
College hoops and NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Moving right along through this Wednesday, July 3rd edition of Overtime. You ever miss any of the show? Podcast links are really easy to find. ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls app. Now, college football is starting to come into focus. We'll be talking with area coaches before too long. Each and every week during the season for USD, SDSU, USF, and Augustana. And squeeze some others in there where we can as well. The Big 12 is the first major conference to put out their preseason media football rankings. So why is everybody clicking on this stuff? Because we're starved for football. But secondly, everyone wants to see where their Big 12 team and where the Colorado Buffaloes have stacked up in the preseason media poll. Colorado is 11th of 16 teams. That is a little bit respecting and also saying they've got a lot of work to do, particularly on defense, and show me something before we anoint this team yet again. Last year, early on, off the jump, opening win over TCU, excitement, win over Nebraska, more excitement. And there was a lot of things that went wrong down the stretch for Colorado, but they are 11th in the preseason media poll for Big 12 college football. Then on out, it's Baylor at 12, BYU 13, Cincinnati, once proud program, down to 14, Houston and Arizona State rounding out the conference. The top team is a new team to the conference. It's the Utah Utes, a very veteran quarterback. I say it tongue-in-cheek because Cam Rising has been around for it feels like 15 years. In and out of the lineup. Last year missed the entirety of the season with an injury, was dinged up prior season as well. He is back, though, and the Utes received 20 first-place votes, narrowly edging out the Kansas State Wildcats for the top spot. Utah 1, K-State 2, Oklahoma State, and Doak Walker Award winner Ollie Gordon II, who was arrested for suspicion of DUI, reported yesterday is ranked third in the Big 12. That's a good spot for OK State. They're going to be very well thought of, all sorts of star power, returners, and one of those sleeper teams that a lot of people are talking about at this stage of the offseason. So Oklahoma State at three. How about the Kansas Jayhawk program? Head coach Lance Leipold, that team was an absolute joke. All caps, underlined, one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, for a decade plus in college football. They're in the top five of the conference, and they're going to be a player this year in the Big 12. Wait and see. Wait to believe me. But the Jayhawks, number four. Arizona, another newcomer, number five. And then you have the Iowa State Cyclones. This program exceeded expectations last year. Did they exceed them out the jump? No, they didn't. But based on the hand that they were dealt, with the gambling scandal around the quarterback and the program and certain players suspended and not on the team anymore, not playing college football anymore, Iowa State and young quarterback Rocco Becht managed to make it to a bowl game. Pretty strong season. This year, I think it's going to be pretty similar. I don't have sky-high expectations for Iowa State. I like where they're at for number six in this poll. I've got them at 8-4 because when you look at Iowa State's schedule coming up for the fall, they've got, of course, the Cy-Hawk matchup week two. That's in Iowa City. As down as you are on the Hawkeyes offense, for whatever reason, Iowa State just invents ways to lose to the Hawkeyes lately. Been a long time since Iowa State took that game, and I think Iowa will be on the right side of it again this year. So they start out 1-1. They begin with North Dakota at home. Challenging matchup, but they'll take care of business there. They got Arkansas State, Houston, Baylor, West Virginia, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, and the final four games are tough. At Kansas, home to Cincinnati should be a win, at Utah and home to Kansas State. So it could be a bumpy ride to the finish for Iowa State. I think Matt Campbell and company go to the tune of an 8-4 regular season, another bowl appearance, missing out on a college football playoff appearance. West Virginia, UCF, Texas Tech, TCU also in the ranks. And then you got Colorado hanging around at number 11. I'm not expecting a huge season. Would it blow me away if Colorado wins six games? No. It would not. They've got the talent. They just need to put it all together. Hopefully the defense is a little bit improved there in Boulder, but six wins should be doable for the Buffs. Lastly here on the conference, Utah is your top-ranked team in the preseason poll. They get 20 first-place votes. K-State got 19, OK State 14, Kansas 5, Arizona 3, and that's it. Utah's schedule, pretty darn favorable. And that's part of the reason, obviously, bringing back really great coach, really established quarterback, veteran quarterback in college football. Very rare that you get those staying in the same place. Cam Rising, hopefully, in for a healthy season this fall. Southern Utah, the opener. Baylor, week two. At Utah State, at Oklahoma State the following 2 weeks. And then week four, week five, at OK State and Arizona. That's the tough slate of the schedule. Rest of the way, very, very easy for Utah. Final seven games at Arizona State, home to TCU, at Houston, home to BYU, at Colorado, home to Iowa State. That's really the only super challenging matchup in this stretch. Regular season finale at UCF. So if Utah takes care of business through the first five games, if they're 4-1, if they're 5-0, this team will be in the college football playoffs, or at least should be if they stay healthy. That's the latest from the Big 12. Speaking of the Utes, the University of Utah has formally planned ahead, naming defensive coordinator Morgan Scally as the successor to longtime football coach Kyle Whittingham. The school made the announcement earlier this week. No retirement date has been set for the longtime head coach. Scally's most recent contract calls for him to become the school's next head coach whenever Whittingham decides to step down. The contract includes a starting salary for Scally of at least $5 million per year if he's elevated at the end of the 2024 season. Per the contract, that number increases by $100,000 each subsequent year, topping out at $5.4 million after January of 2028. That's good in Utah. Program planning ahead. And now for the other program, Utah State. This is plain and simply getting funky, and we'll wait and see how it all pans out. But Utah State has informed football coach Blake Anderson of their intent to fire him after an external investigation of alleged noncompliance of Title IX policies, quote, that require full and timely reporting of disclosures of sexual misconduct, including domestic violence. This announcement was made yesterday in a statement. Utah State said the investigation stemmed from, quote, actions taken in spring 2023 that, quote, violated both his employment agreement and university policy. The university said that Anderson has 14 days to respond under the terms of his employment agreement, and Tom Mars, the attorney representing Anderson in the matter, issued a statement regarding Utah State's decision. Like any university, Utah State could fire Blake Anderson for any reason as long as they paid his buyout, Mars said. However, based on the facts alleged in the language in Blake's employment agreement, Utah State is going to be fighting an uphill battle if they try to fire him for cause, just to avoid paying Blake what he's owed. Again, so many layers to this. We don't know a whole lot of the details just yet, but that's the surface level data coming out from Utah State and the firing of longtime head coach Blake Anderson. Now to the National Football League. Speaking of ugly situations, Deshaun Gibson Sr. looking to continue his career. He'll have to do so with a suspension immediately next year. Spent the past two seasons with the San Francisco 49ers, and he's been suspended for six games by the National Football League. The penalty is for a violation of the league's performance-enhancing substances policy. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter yesterday. Signed for extra depth just before 2022, Gibson re-energized his career with the Niners, quickly becoming the starter at free safety, brought back on a one-year $2.9 million deal. In two seasons with the Niners, Gibson, who turns 34 in August, became a trusted locker room leader for the other young defensive backs and a stalwart on the back end of the defense. Gibson, again, looking to continue with the Niners' six-game suspension to start out the season. We'll wait to see if there's any appeal involved in that decision. The New England Patriots, one might think, are one of the more talent-devoid teams in the NFL, but one of the players that does have a bright future with the team is Jelani Tavai, the linebacker, and he got an extension yesterday with the team, three-year contract extension, base value of $15 million, can be worth up to $21 million, and he was entering the final season of a two-year extension he signed in November of 2022, worth up to $4.4 million, and was scheduled to earn a base salary of just $1.625 million, a bonus and a boost there for Jelani Tavai, one of the faces of that Patriot defense in the new chapter under new head coach Jerod Mayo. Where the heck is the deal right now? Where does it stand with Brandon Ayuk and the Niners? It is anyone's guess, as it still remains that way. Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports reporting, the Niners would surely love to persuade their star receiver to play for the team at a fifth-year salary option of $14.1 million. Regardless, it appears Ayuk is unwilling to do that. Mike Garofalo of NFL Media reports that the 49ers and Ayuk are no closer than in recent weeks to a long-term deal for Ayuk and the Niners. They had conversations recently. They are no closer to a deal, from my understanding, but they also are no closer to a trade request. That's never been something that has been explored in this case. That's an intriguing wrinkle there, because people are saying trade him to the Jags, trade him to Washington, get him out of here, and let's move on. $14 million is absolutely not nothing, but for a youngster like Ayuk, so much to lose if you have a down year, if you get hurt. $14 million is certainly nice, but it's the long-term security he's after. I'm sure he'd like to be paid as a top five receiver as well. Do the stats warrant that? No, not yet. No, they don't. But the offense is so darn crowded, it's hard to argue any which way, because you got so many mouths to feed in San Francisco. Hard to argue against Ayuk being a top 10 guy. Hard to argue for him being a top five guy at this point. Lastly, from the NFL, we finally heard from Josh Jacobs a little bit more. After completing the offseason program in Green Bay, Packers' new running back Josh Jacobs believes he's playing in an offense that has unlimited potential. He told the NFL Network, I honestly think the sky is the limit on offense. Obviously, having a special guy in Jordan Love, you know, and having a good offensive line, good receivers out there makes it a lot easier for me. But just to be able to see the game plan and things that they want me to do this year, the things that they're allowing me to do, I just think it's going to be a special year. Jacobs is just 1 year removed from leading the NFL in rushing back in 2022, hoping to do more of the same with the Green Bay Packers. Probably a little bit of a sprinkle of a running back by committee. A.J. Dillon still there, and they also drafted Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. But it could be a lot of fun for the Green Bay Packers on offense this year. That, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Final segment of the week coming up next. You know what it is. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll send you back in on a good note, I'm sure. Beautiful day in the 605. We're primed for a beautiful long weekend. Keep it here. Overtime wraps up coming up next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's Bert Ramin right back with you to wrap up this Wednesday edition of Overtime and wrap up the work week for yours truly. Hope you and yours have a fantastic Independence Day holiday tomorrow. Do so safely. And let's have some fun celebrating our country's independence on into the weekend. The best way I know to wrap up the show is to deliver the goods, the bads, and the uglies from the sports world. Let's do it on this Wednesday edition of Overtime.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
First things first, good news. Macklin Celebrini knows he's got a big decision upcoming. The number one overall pick in the NHL draft last week made his Sharks debut yesterday morning at the team's development camp. Whether he plays for San Jose this upcoming season or opts to return to Boston University for his sophomore season is still to be determined. Celebrini says, it's coming up. I got to make the decision pretty quick here. Just trying to enjoy this camp. And after, I guess it's time to make a decision. The 18-year-old, very impressive. Celebrini impressed dozens of fans in attendance at Sharks Ice in San Jose with his effortless skating ability, masterful stick handling, and a lightning-quick release on his shot. John McCarthy, head coach of the Sharks' AHL affiliate, San Jose Barracuda, really good. He was super competitive on pucks. I thought that's what stood out to me the most. Heck of a season upcoming, whether it be with Boston or San Jose, for the youngster Macklin Celebrini. Other youngsters in the news, rookie sensations Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever and Angel Reese of the Chicago Sky headline the 12-player team WNBA that'll face the U.S. Women's National Team in Phoenix on July 20th in the 2024 WNBA All-Star Game. The league made the announcement last night. Clark and Reese, the respective number one and number seven picks of the recent WNBA draft, are the only first-time All-Stars of the group. That's also good news. Bad news, it's divisive on the opinions for Bronny James after the Lakers rookie thanked coach J.J. Redick and vice president of basketball operations and GM Rob Pelinka for everything they've, quote, given to him after drafting him number 55 last week. Redick corrected his young guard. Rob and I didn't give Bronny anything, he said during a news conference Tuesday to introduce James and number 17 overall pick Dalton Connect. Bronny has earned this. Bronny has earned this through hard work. Bronny's parents, of course, LeBron and Savannah James, stood off to the side at the Lakers facility as their eldest son reported to his first day on the job in the family business for sure. Amplified amount of pressure, Bronny James said. I've already seen it on social media and stuff and the internet and talking about that I might not deserve that opportunity, but I've been dealing with this stuff my whole life. So it's nothing different, but it's more amplified for sure. But I'll get through it. The 19-year-old rookie who entered the draft averaging just 4.8 points and 36% shooting from the floor and underwent a heart procedure last summer said the nearly five-month layoff due to the medical issue affected his development. You can be at either side. I'm somewhere in the middle here. James has a lot of pressure based on who he is, who his dad is, who his brother could be. There's certainly pressure. But did they give him an opportunity? Yes, they did. They drafted him when he might not have been drafted. You don't know the interest of the other teams, but it wasn't high enough to be a first-round pick because I think a team would have plain and simply done that. But again, you've heard about the Rich Paul news dictating where he goes. The Lakers opted to take him for a multitude of reasons. They might really like the young player. They might like the young man. They like the potential. That's fine. But they also took him because of who his dad is and the fact that he plays for the team and the fact that they want the dad to stay there at least for one more year. And bada bing, bada boom, LeBron James is back at least for one more year with the Lakers. So yes, they gave him an opportunity. They're the team that drafted him. They're the team that would have signed him in undrafted free agency, if not at the short list, to go ahead and bring James back into the fold. That is a no-doubter for me, but certainly also possesses some basketball skill. They wouldn't have drafted him if he's a bad basketball player. He's got potential as well. Ugly news, Shohei Ohtani won't participate in the Home Run Derby in mid-July, despite the Japanese superstar ranking second in the majors. With 27 homers for the Dodgers, Ohtani has taken part in the Derby just once in his career, exiting in the first round back in 2021 at Coors Field in Denver. This year's event is down in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Field. Now, I told you folks, as we get ready for the 4th of July, I would end the show on a high note. I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I gotta say, bravo, job well done to the city of Sioux Falls, the construction staff, and everybody. I'm a West Sider, and I know West Siders know the pain and the agony of construction, the 41st Street double diverging diamond interchange roundabout, whatever you want to call it. It is open, baby, and it is a good-looking piece of infrastructure. Job well done. Good news. Hopefully a reduction in traffic out there for us West Siders and those of you out there on a Saturday on 41st Street. Good news, good note, just in time for the 4th of July. Have a great 4th. We'll talk to you on Monday. More of Overtime then. Happy Independence Day to all of you out there, and let's have a good one over the weekend. Overtime back on Monday, 11 to 1, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.